Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome back, everybody. Human trafficking is the second largest criminal activity in the world, reaching an estimated $150 billion in annual activity. Lantern Rescue, welcoming them back to the show. Developed rapidly to combat trafficking, they really work with former U.S. Special Operations law enforcement contract and intelligence personnel, not just here in America, but in other countries around the world, host nations. And they help them create specialized units to combat human trafficking right there on the front line. So when all of us sit around here and talk about it, when the Super Bowl comes up and things like that, my buddy Mark and his team are out there literally on the front lines fighting this battle and rescuing people and trying to get, I think Mark had called me in for a little while. And then we lost him. Let me make sure I see where he's at. We lost him. We had him on the phone. And Mark has, and Mark is an assumed name. Okay, so Mark is just a normal guy, loves the Lord, well-educated, very involved in the Christian world and Christian ministry. And then he just got really convicted by all of this with the specifically sex trafficking, but trafficking in general. And decided to do something about it. You know, all of us complain about things and we're concerned about things and we support things and write checks and make donations as we should. But somebody like Mark is actually out there on the front lines. And the last time he was on, he was here in the studio and we could not show him. We have to change his name and you can't see his face because of the sensitive nature of what they do. And they do work with other governments. And it is they've had a friendly relationship with the U.S. government for the last several years. I'm trying to see where he is because I thought he called earlier. And so they have to be very, very careful. And he, one of the first times I had him on the show, this goes back a couple years ago, with Victor Marx. Now, Victor Marx is out there and he's got a big social media presence. A lot of people know him, very active Christian. But he's been very active in trying to combat sex trafficking and rescuing children. He's done a lot of work in the Middle East and specifically in Iraq and Afghanistan. He was involved a little bit there, but more in Iraq and Syria. And the first time Victor called into the show, he was with my buddy Mark. And they literally, they were 30 minutes outside of, I think they were outside of Fallujah or one of the other really nasty cities in Iraq, and they were outside there, and they had just rescued, literally off the street in the face of ISIS under gunfire, a three-year-old girl. And so Mark had texted me through a secure texting app and said, hey, do you want us to call in? Do you want us to give you a call? We'll give you a report. We're literally 30 minutes outside, and I'm pretty sure it was Fallujah. In northern Iraq, and we'll give you a report. And that's the first time Victor called in with my friend Mark. And it was just riveting, just amazing to hear about this. And again, Mark, my friend, did not grow up in the military, but got trained and got serious and got involved and has been out there ever since. I think we might have Mark on the phone now. I'm trying to see. Yeah, we got him now. So I'm gonna pull him up. They're going to put him on hold. Then I'll bring him into the show. And I'll quit stalling, and we'll get off of my commentary and talk directly to my buddy Mark. Mark, thanks for calling in, buddy. How are you?
Good, sir. Sorry for the delay. I had a technical difficulty, but thanks for taking the time for us.
That's all right. It's great to hear from you. And I was just kind of setting everybody up and reminding them the last time that you were on the show and what you guys are doing at Lantern Rescue. But you texted me recently, just got back not that long ago from West Africa. Give us an update on what happened there, and then we'll broaden it out and talk about the trafficking problem generally around the world.
Sure. And Steve, first of all, thanks for being a partner to us, man, and always allowing us to update your listeners and your real concern about the issue. You know, I know you run a show, but you have a real concern for this, and I appreciate that. Yeah, I tell you, you know, I've got a God story. How long do I have?
We got about 3 minutes in this segment, then we'll take a break, then we'll come back. So we have two more segments, so take your time.
I'm going to tell you about a guy. I'm going to call him Frank. He's in West Africa. He's a kerosene seller. He sells kerosene for lamps, right? It's a small, simple task, but he that's what he's doing at the time. His sister's three children were taken by Boko Haram into Nigeria. He never saw them again, and he watched his 30-year-old sister have a stroke from anguish.
Man.
And he said, I have to do something about this. So he gets up, and he gets up, after doing his sister's funeral, and he goes to the border in order to try to intercept children who were being smuggled across. They arrest him and send him back to his house. He does this for 4 months, Steve. Four months, this man gets up, goes to another part of the border, continues to be arrested every time. And they say, quit, we'll take care of this. And he's like, no, I have to do something. After 4 months of being arrested, the inspector general of a particular country in Africa actually calls for him to come to his office. And he goes to the office, and the inspector general says, why are you doing what you're doing? And Frank shares with him why he's doing this. And the inspector general says, okay, we'll come back tomorrow. I want to talk to you further. Well, he goes back the next day. He can't even get in the building. They're like, no, you do not have a meeting with the inspector general. He has to sneak through a window. Hmm. And a police officer recognizes him, says, oh, okay, yeah, you do have a meeting. Takes him back in. The inspector general says, well, I've thought about this, and what I want to do is this. I'm putting you over human trafficking for our country. And the police that used to arrest you now work for you. So, this is how God works. This guy's so persistent. And even in the task of, during the 4 months, he loses his closest friend who was also trying to help him, a Christian pastor, who gets hit on the side of the road in a motorcycle accident and dies. He has to pick up his friend's dead body, right?
Oh, man.
He showed me pictures, and he said it was the hardest day of his life, but he's like, but the next day I went back and tried to rescue kids. Well, jump ahead. He's now got authority. He doesn't know what to do. A UN police officer gives him my team's name, gives my name and number and contact information, says, look, you need to get some help. These guys can help you. So he reaches out to me about 6 months ago, and he says, boss, when are you coming? And it's a video of him trying to rescue a smuggled kid. Hmm. Of course, I don't even know if this guy's real at this point.
Right.
I don't know all of this about him. I don't know all this information, But jump ahead. This is how God works. He puts persistence in this man's heart,
yeah,
right?
That's right. That's right.
Gives him amazing authority from two governments that I promise you the U.S. government can't get this authority, even with their tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars.
Unbelievable.
He gives
Mark,
authority.
I'm going to put you on hold. Hold it right there. I'm hitting the brakes. So I'm going to put you on hold.
Okay.
Just hit the pause button. We'll come right back to that. Hold on, Mark. We're talking to Mark from Lantern Rescue. Reminds me of Isaiah. Here I am, Lord. Send me. So how are we going to respond today as Mark tells us about this? We'll be right back. Welcome back to Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. LanternRescue.org is the website, LanternRescue.org. I was just talking to my friends on Facebook Live, so if you're on the radio, you want to be right here in the studio with us. Video during the radio show, but we, during the commercial breaks on radio, we're here in the studio continuing a conversation. I always hit the pause button, so I'm not robbing Peter to pay Paul. So what you're listening to on the radio is the vast majority of what we're talking about, but we'll do some other things, a sidebar conversation. Kind of hit the pause button, and I was just telling people on Facebook Live, hey, listen, now you're listening. You're like, I want to do something. We have, a lot of us in America right now, as a result of the elections and everything going on in this country politically, are frustrated and wondering, what can I do? What should I do? Well, with knowledge comes responsibility. So when stuff, God allows something to get thrown under your radar screen, thank you, Henry Blackaby, experiencing God, then you ask the question, Lord, do you want me to do something with this? In this case, sex trafficking, labor trafficking, is a $150 billion industry every year. Second biggest crime industry on the planet. And you think God cares about it? Of course he does. You think God wants us involved? Well, if you have an opportunity, of course. Maybe it's prayer, maybe it's volunteering, maybe it's giving. And you can do that. With knowledge comes responsibility. So you're like, I got to do something. Look what's going on. The world's going crazy. You're right, it is. So go to lanternrescue.org. And you can go to the volunteer, you can go to the give, you can shop, you can buy a t-shirt, you can help support their ministry, and it's one obviously worthy of support. That's why we're grateful to have Mark with us from Lantern Rescue again. Okay, so Mark, you're telling the story of this guy in West Africa, and he's persistent. He's showing up every day, and next thing you know, they put him in charge of combating human trafficking. And then he gets a hold of you.
Yeah, this is the story I'm just sharing with people right now this time of season because I just see God in it so much. So yeah, he gets in hold of a UN officer who gives their name and number. We get contacted. We end up, we're supposed to be in Asia Pacific region. The new COVID strain at the end of, right after Christmas, kind of closed their government. So it didn't make sense to work there at that time. So yeah. 3 days later, we're in West Africa. We land in West Africa. This guy meets me in a uniform, and he says, "This is the greatest day of my life." You know? Wow. And we look at him. We're like, he's like, "Boss, what time do we go to work?" I said, "Well, 7 a.m., you know." And so he picks us up, and I tell you, the first 2 days, he has orchestrated all the right meetings with government officials of different countries that need to happen. I mean, this guy is just, I tell you, he's one in million, and God is really using him. So, you know, quickly we were able to train a force of border agents and police, about 18 to 20. We trained an intelligence team of 7, and these are 7 volunteers that, you know, Frank selected that are, honestly, they're Christian pastors, a lot of them.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we got busy. And I tell you, since then, we have, personally, while we were there, and then since then, we've rescued over 35 girls from the 2 border station operations that we set up.
Wow.
We're talking about girls who are 9 years old going to, you know, a Muslim husband. We're talking about a 15-year-old girl that we rescued while we were there who was pregnant, who had been taken when she was 12 years old, forced to marry a Muslim. He put her away when she got pregnant, sold her into domestic slavery.
Jeez.
Her and her unborn child sold them into domestic slavery. We're talking about girls who are going into to be sold as sex slaves in the nearby capital cities of those countries. You know, I'm just, when you said something a second ago, you said God cares about these children, about these oppressed people. I tell you what, you can't read the book of Isaiah, especially you can't get past chapter 1 and not realize how much God cares about the oppressed.
Yep.
And what he will do. And this is what he will do. And so that's not the end of the story. So we have this operation, and in faith, I'm looking, I'm like, God, how are we going to help this? How are we going to continue this good work here? It can't work with just volunteers. My team are volunteers, but we are Americans. How can these people, how can they make it? Well, I tell you, inside of 2 weeks, God completely, I spoke at an event with General Boykin, and that group wrote a check, and it essentially became a $71,000 check to fund that intelligence team, buy them vehicles, motorcycles, pay for their gas every month, to cover them for this entire year.
Jeez.
And that's accountability with us. We go in at least once a quarter in that region. We'll do some heavy lifting with them. You know, that's some of the harder rescue operations and arrests.
Yeah.
And so God already had that figured out. That was an event that I was supposed to speak at, like, I don't know, 2 years ago. And then it got delayed, and then it got delayed because of COVID. I literally came back from West Africa and called my buddy who was willingly doing this event, good group of men, and I said, "Hey, is that happening?" And they said, "Yeah, it's all sold out. It's this Friday night. Come, you know." And, you know, there were some godly people there who all I had to do was show up and say what God's doing and say, "Look, we need this operation covered," and they covered it. You know, we're out there now. We've got an operation in the Caribbean coming up in March. We've got operations in Asia Pacific, a really, really great task there with some good people intercepting a lot of girls in that region. You know, that is a high region for domestic slavery in that region. In the Caribbean, it's all sex slavery. It's 90%, you know, sex slavery for Americans, Europeans, locals. You know, it's just, especially right now with COVID, a country like the Dominican Republic is open. So, you know, those guys who want to perpetrate young girls, that's where they're going.
We're talking to Mark from Lantern Rescue, lanternrescue.org, an incredible organization, faith-based, out there partnering with other governments and other leaders to help fight human trafficking, regular labor trafficking, as well as sex trafficking. And so what I would, you know, obviously this is a huge market. It's happening all over the place. So, you know, in just about every country you deal with, that this is a major problem. But what are kind of the basic steps you have to go through, Mark? From the minute you get there, you have to engage the local authorities. You got to work through that process and then finding where these people are and then actually getting in there. Because I know you're dealing with rescues, but you're also dealing with plain old going after these people, if I'm correct.
Correct, yeah. So, you know, part of our understanding is, and what we tell people is, you cannot rescue your way out of this problem. You have to arrest the perpetrators, you know, and that's one of the parameters we work under. Like, we don't want to work in a country that doesn't ever make an arrest.
Yeah.
You know, we give them time to develop that, you know, that system, but, you know, we're going to do that. So, and we work with the governments. I've said on your show, many shows, we work with the highest level of government we can. So it's usually like the Minister of Defense, the office, it's the Attorney General, it's the Inspector General, it's the Minister of Interior, it's the Director General of those countries. It's not local police. It's like we get jurisdiction over the whole country because we know that it's a regional problem. Like, you know, if you take the Caribbean, it's all those countries are girls are being moved around quite a bit from country to country. And so, you know, so in our MO basis, we show up, we get that authority. It's through God's favor. It's miraculous that we get it, but we do get it, you know. And sometimes that takes a while. That can take up to a year to develop that network. But because there's corruption, but we're going to work around the corruption. I was just texting somebody in Greece today who's dealing with a trafficking issue and the network there. And I said, they're like, how do you work around the corrupt government? So I'm like, what you do is you go and you find out with God's favor who is honest, who is pure enough to help you. And then the ones that you know are corrupt, you give them the gospel.
You know what I mean? So you got two audiences built in.
Yeah, exactly. If I'm in a, you know, Minister of Tourism or Prime Minister's office, and I know he's not a believer, I'm not leaving until I give him the gospel or I pray and say, I want to pray for your country. They don't ever say no, you know?
Yeah.
And we establish who we are. And I know they could mean us harm, but I feel like if you lead out with, look, I'm doing this because of a calling from God.
Yeah.
They're afraid to touch you.
That's exactly right. No kidding. Yeah. That would be unwise. Mark, I'm going to put you on hold. We're up against the break. Talking to Mark from Lantern Rescue, lanternrescue.org. Go there as soon as possible. See how you can play a part. We'll be right back.
Oh, angels said from above, you know you make my world light up.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Talking to Mark from Lantern Rescue. By the way, they also have a podcast now called Lantern Rescue, just the Lantern Rescue podcast. And you can hear stories of what's going on there, Pride of Aslan, failed rescues, corrupted families. And this is something the more you learn, the more disgusted you're going to get. But don't turn your head away from it. Don't be shy about it because it's happening all over the world. It's happening here in the United States. And I remember a message I heard once from Tim Keller, the pastor up at Redeemer Presbyterian in New York. He said, if you're not regularly doing something to help the oppressed, to help the widow, to help the fatherless, but specifically to help the oppressed, because it's so obvious in Scripture, both the Old and the New Testament, that God has a special place in his heart for the oppressed. And if you don't do something regularly to help the oppressed, this is Tim Keller, who's not usually this aggressive. He flat out said, I think you have a reason to question whether you're a Christian at all, because how can you follow the God of the Bible and not plainly see what matters to that same God and that same Bible? And so that was a great challenge to hear from somebody like Tim Keller. And obviously with Mark from Lantern Rescue, that's the same thing for all of us. What will you do with what you now know? That's why I want you to go to the website, lanternrescue.org. You have knowledge now, and with that comes responsibility. And especially if God's tugging on your heart on this particular issue, get involved. There's a volunteer. You can host. They do fundraising parties. There's all kinds of stuff. They got a newsletter. They have the podcast. And then you can just flat out give, whether that's $25 or $2,500. It all matters. As somebody that also runs a not-for-profit, I understand that, but especially what Mark, what you're doing is way more important than what I'm doing, but we're all on the same wall. We all have a different place on the wall. We all have a different place.
Yeah. Hey, listen, giving the gospel is the greatest rescue we ever do. You know what
Amen.
I mean?
Yep.
And the girls that we physically rescue are not rescued at that moment as much as they are when they hear the gospel and the good news and they learn about forgiveness. So, you know, the rescue has to continue on. And you know, we facilitate that aftercare, and we work hard to get, you know, partners within countries that we're, you know, certain the gospel is going to be given. We have materials that we try to give and as well. But, you know, the other thing I'll say about you, Steve, is, you know, the fight that you put out there always for the unborn child.
Yep.
I tell, you know, I get in arguments sometimes with liberals on pro-choice and all that, and they're all about human trafficking. And then when I tell them that one of the worst forms of human trafficking is abortion,
yep,
they usually don't know what to say to me.
No.
They're like,
no,
I'm like, that is, you know, the benefit, a commercial benefit, the exploit of somebody else,
That's
you know,
right.
a child.
That's right.
And so, yeah, it really is. So, I we're so excited about what God's doing right now in 2021. You know, we have been out of the country working hard. We've been, I don't know how many countries I've been in since, you know, COVID started. And it's been difficult, but our team has been, and just, we're not deterred, man. We go, we get tested, we just keep going. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We've been a lot of places. So I don't do well with the question when I go in and they say, have you been out of the country? I'm like, well, 11 different countries, actually. But, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you got bigger fish to fry than to worry about Pope Fauci and all that mess. Speaking of the government, I know we talked about this last time when you were in the studio, but I imagine, if I'm recalling correctly, that the Trump administration was very friendly towards this effort. Remind me of that. And then what are you expecting or what have you experienced? If I know it's early in the Biden administration, but is that an area of concern?
Yes, it is. And, you know, I know that human trafficking is people like to say it's a bipartisan issue, but our support, and at least in my experience, those who care and will sacrificially do something, it's not bipartisan. You know,
yeah.
It's the Christian community that cares. I mean, it's the faith community that does so much around the world. You know, and I've been in so many countries, and you know, it's really going to be hard to find something that is effective in a country that is not faith-based, you know? You know, with this current administration, it's going to be interesting. We have some really high officials in our advisory board, who worked with the past administration and how much will they get to work with this one? I don't know. You know, it doesn't deter us much because we report and work for the foreign governments, you know?
Yep.
So that's who we partner with. That's who we're working with, you know, and for. And, for instance, in West Africa, I mean, the relationships we built there with, you know, these governments, you know, they're far worse corrupt than even our government. But they are meeting us with open arms, you mm-hmm. know. They know it's the future of their country. And they're just drowning in this issue.
Yeah.
That their children are being turned over into slavery and sex slaves. They know it's such an enormous problem. They will accept help from a group of Christian men and women who are coming over to say, we're going to help fix your problem. You know, I had that same experience in Iraq. You know, I mean, I was there to help Christians. I was there to help children. You know what? The Shiite and the Sunni Muslims that I had to work with, they respected that and gave us the leeway to do it because even they know, oh my goodness, you know, if we don't do something, we're never going to come out of this. So,
this is dangerous business. I don't want anybody to get under the false impression that you're out there with khakis and a golf shirt on handing out tracts. I mean, you're wearing body armor.
No.
People are armed. This is really serious, really dangerous frontline stuff. What about the problem internationally versus domestically, Mark, because I know a lot of people listening are probably like, well, what's happening here in America versus what's happening around the world? Because a lot of people will assume, as usual, America's the epicenter of this stuff. Obviously, it isn't. But help us understand the difference.
Right. Real quick, I'll try to explain. So, you know, internationally, we deal with all forms of trafficking, sex slavery, labor slavery, organ trafficking, forced brides, child soldiers, all of that. We see it all. All of it. And it's very violent. We tend, as a team and a unit, we work in conflict areas. We work in areas that are not a soft rescue. I mean, us raiding nightclubs in the Caribbean, these are violent, armed situations, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And we train the foreign team to handle that, you know, with us. And, yeah, we're in body armor. I mean, I live in it overseas and everywhere I go. But sometimes I have to sleep in it. So, you know, it's that kind of environment. You know, the stats are that, you know, we know about 15,000 victims are transported into America illegally for sex trafficking a year, 15,000. We're trying to interrupt that, and we're doing a pretty good job of it, you know. And we're trying to support even Homeland HSI and those within our government that work on that.
Yeah.
What's difficult is that they are forced into it without choice, and they can't choose to get out of it no matter what. That, in America, girls are psychologically coerced. They are held in a bondage of their mind sometimes, or you know, a lot what you see is they engage in a relationship with an older male who then begins to pimp them out,
right.
And they're struggling to find a way out of it. The beautiful thing in America is we have tremendous law enforcement. Mm-hmm. We have FBI. We have special units. We have sheriffs. We have such amazing law enforcement in this country. It's not apples to apples, not yeah. even any comparison.
Yeah.
You know, I've told so many people, I'm like, if your child gets taken or disappears, no less than 1,000 agents are going to know about it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
they're
yeah.
instantly, you know, so many effort is being put toward that Amber Alert and that issue, and they're trying to find that girl, and they are going to do a really good job. I think you've got a very high, over 90%, you know, success rate that she's wow. going to be returned in a certain period of time. Now, the ones that are not are often the forgotten kind of foster child that disappears.
Yeah. Yep.
They have they're susceptible to being trafficked and pimped, but still, there are opportunities for them to pass on, hey, here's who I am and here's what's happening. And there's immediate help through our law enforcement agencies, and there's people looking for her. Listen, I deal with girls, there's nobody looking for them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
And they have nowhere to turn. And
oh, they're
if
not,
they turn to a cop, the cop might be the one who raped
right,
them last night.
Right, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, they're just forgotten. They're not even a blip on a yeah. radar screen anyway, in any way, shape, or form.
Right. And so, you know, we are in America. I know it's a growing problem. But I tell you what, the best way to fight in America is support. Just be thankful for your law enforcement people,
yeah.
you know. And support them. And there are some good groups in the states that run great safe houses that should be commended and who are giving an aftercare because, you know, really it's about bringing those girls who fell into that, got coerced into it, got bonded into it, that come out of it.
Yeah.
They're the best advocate that they need to hit the ground running, you know, to these girls that are trying to prostitute themselves or being forced to prostitute themselves and say, look, there's a better way. You know,
yep,
you do not have to do this in America. You know?
We only got about 30 seconds left, Mark. How can we help you with what Lantern Rescue is doing?
Just, you know, continue to support us at lanternrescue.org. That is the primary, you know, staying in tune with us there and praying for us is the way to support us, you know.
Yep, support by prayer and getting involved. There's places you can volunteer if you go to lanternrescue.org. And, of course, you can give, flat-out give, whether it's $25, $250, $2,500, whatever you're capable of. And that goes a long way overseas. That's another thing about these foreign focus as opposed to America.
Yep.
You can get a lot more done over there with the dollars. But, Mark, as always, hey, let's not wait as long next time. Let's get you back on more regularly so we can help.
Yes, sir, man. Thank you, Steve. I appreciate you.
Talk to you. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you. It's great to talk to our friend Mark, who's out there literally on the front lines dealing with sex trafficking and labor trafficking around the world. Again, that website is lanternrescue.org. I really hope you'll get involved and support them in whatever way you can, lanternrescue.org. We'll be on a location tomorrow at Angel Ministries. That's run by our friend Ann Graham Lotz, daughter of Billy Graham, and the greatest preacher in the family. She's really an amazing woman of God. Came through a very difficult tribulation and trial with her cancer, so we'll be in her office tomorrow. So that's always a treat. So we'll be with Ann tomorrow, and we'll talk about that experience for her and what all the Lord taught her and what she's sharing now as a result of that. We'll talk about the state of the nation and what's going on. How do we live in these strategic times in which the Lord has allowed us to be alive? And then what do we do with everything that he's given us? And one of those things that we need to talk about that he's given us is how do we handle our money and possessions, which is why we spend a little bit of time each week with our good friend David Fisher, who brings his experience and expertise to the table for us at Landmark Capital. LandmarkGold.com is his website as always. David, how are you?
I'm doing great, Steve. Thanks for having me on again.
You're very welcome. Good to hear from you. And as always, on our Money Monday updates, which I really appreciate, we're in the Word of God. In the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 8. So let's start there, and then we'll pick it up.
Verse 18, but remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. Mm-hmm. So I have a dear a close brother. I'm getting, we're getting to know each other even more so. And he's just a great guy. He actually, we're talking this morning. He says, "Hey, I got a scripture for you." And so he's, and I told him, I said, "Well, I'm doing radio today. Do you mind me using it? I've never used it before." So, this talks about wealth. Wealth is not always money, but we're going to apply money to it today. So if the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever, his kind of covenant back then is still true today.
Yeah.
And I'm not, I want to make sure I'm not preaching a prosperity message here. Balance is the key. But the Christian walk is a walk of action, and action is required on our part, which, what is that? Acquire wisdom, knowledge. That's why we believe at Landmark Capital. Get some education.
Yeah.
Access and assess the environment. You know, there's a difference between being concerned and being held captive in fear. Don't let fear hold you captive in any decision process, whether it be financially or anything else. But be concerned about that decision and make it with wisdom and knowledge. And I think the key is, especially now, is diversify, because there's another scripture that we talked about before, is a portion to seven, a portion to eight, because you do not know what tragedy may befall you. So if wealth is, if God has given us the ability to produce wealth, that's us, how we partner with him, and that's the action that we have to do, those few simple things.
Yeah, so important, and not to operate out of fear, but this is a big deal. That's why I often remind people that the Bible talks often across the Old and the New Testament about money and possessions. God knew that we would struggle with that. It's a heart issue ultimately, but also a stewardship issue and a wisdom issue. And it's if it's going to show up regularly in the scripture, that's why it's going to show up regularly on the show, as we all seek to do the best with what we've been given. And some people have a lot, some people barely have enough. But we're all called to be stewards of whatever that amount is. That's why it's so important that we have these conversations, and really appreciate, as always, your expertise. So the markets this week and then year to date looks like a good roller coaster ride. But what's it doing this week? And then today, I think up a little bit and still in kind of record territory.
Well, world stocks, actually, Steve, has hit the longest record streak in for 17 years. Yields have surged here now. There's been a rollout. This COVID vaccine is causing optimism. Obviously, the stimulus, the Fed, and the possible economic recovery is the general thought that's sweeping across the markets. We're in a four-day trading week this week. Investors are tackling the question, though, inflation, is it going to come now? Will we see interest rates rise? Will this come into play in the future, you know, this year or next year or the near years? And what will stimulus be through the legislation of our government in D.C.? So that's what's happening right now. And last Friday, something key happened. The Fed put out a stress test for 19 major banks. The test is simple. What would happen to banks if their stock fell 55%.
Oh, man.
It's a striking scenario.
Yeah.
My question is, why is the Fed suggesting that if they're not concerned about the bubble we're in?
Man. Yeah, so is this rally? Is this? Do we think this, you know, we had the Trump bump, now we're going to have the Biden depression or whatever. Do you think this is going to come to an end? Is it going to keep going? Because I know there's this strange relationship between economic realities on the ground and the stock market. So help us understand where this may be going, up or down or otherwise.
Well, I think we're going to head more to the upside in the short term, but there's a growing, increasingly clearness that the global markets are going to probably be driven by Fed stimulus, but we're also beyond the normal tops of previous markets, the crash of 1987, Black Monday, in the spring of 2000, the tech bust, and if you look at Warren Buffett's the most, his main most, famous, I got a tongue twisting today.
That's right.
Famous catchphrase, investors should be fearful when others are greedy. And so right now what's happening is there's a lot of greed out there. And that's why you got to be concerned where your heart is when you invest in something.
Yeah.
Bloomberg reports that the U.S. market cap is more than double of the estimated GDP, which is the highest it's ever been. So it's twice as high. No longer is the market compared to the real economy anymore. It's not, you know, tied, you know, Wall Street and Main Street are two dichotomies. They're totally separate.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And the Fed is creating this dependency. So most money managers have not been around for Black Monday, the dot-com bubble in 2000 and certainly in, even in 2009. So they don't know. They only seen a one-way street, which makes a lot of people nervous.
Oh, man, yeah. So when we talk about inflation always comes up, when it's kind of a regular part of our conversations, when we talk about an inflationary environment, first of all, what is that? Number two, are we headed towards one?
Well, inflation is when interest, when commodities and assets start to go up in value, and usually interest rates are followed by that because that's how they tame inflation. So asset prices inflate. That's an inflationary environment. Obviously, stocks are inflated, but that's not usually the key that the Fed goes by. The something that's causing the eyes to be drawn towards inflation is the 10-year yield today. It's currently above 1.29%. I want to get all technical, but if it breaks above 1.4%, which is not far away, I'm going to speculate, and there's some researchers that are saying it could happen in the next 3 to 4 weeks. It might break up to that level, maybe up to six weeks from now. That would cause a market correction. Historically, that's been the case. But the Fed says inflation, they put it out there in 2001. They told us that the best way to see if we have inflation is food prices. That's the best forecaster for future inflation. They actually wrote a white paper on it. Well, let's take a look at that. Soybeans are up 55% since mid last year. Corn is up 47% during the same time frame. Food products across the board are up 40%. Oil is now over $60. Copper is at a 9-year high. Lumber is at all-time highs. And gold and silver are now joining in the charts and saying, hey, we're having inflation. So we are on the cuspice of an inflation. The threshold is coming this year and probably will be a part of our fabric for, well, maybe quite a few years.
Yeah, for those of you that park your car outside or live in an apartment complex or a city, I just heard earlier today that theft of catalytic converters is way up. Because I think there's copper and catalytic converters, and the price goes up, then there's more theft. You mentioned gold and silver, David. So what can we expect there in terms of those types of commodities, precious metals?
Well, obviously, we're going to see more spending, $2 trillion. We've talked about all the spending that they're going to do, and this causes gold and silver to go higher. There's some analysts are suggesting that there's silver shortages, and we could see silver be $50 in a few months from now. I'm not adhering to that short-term movement, but I can say silver and gold are a strategic part of a portfolio, especially now. And if we look at the inflationary environment from 1971 to 80, government debt became unmanageable. Interest rates rose to 14 to 15%. The Dow rose 9%. Gold went up 500%, and silver went up over 1,000%. We are in the exact same environment. The only thing is different. We're not at 14 to 15% interest rates, but we're headed towards that direction. Maybe not that number, but we're going there. So if those things, inflation happens, and we're there by all metrics, I got to diversify now into gold and silver.
Yeah, so I think to say that we should be cautiously optimistic almost starts to begin to sound a little bit unrealistic. As they go, well, maybe we need to be soberly skeptical. Given the market conditions, what's going on out there, as you know, they're going to pump all this money in, and that's fine, but the fundamentals are still a huge problem, and our debt is skyrocketing. And so many people, more and more people getting on that bandwagon of talking about major, major market correction. And so we need to be not paranoid, but we should be defensive, shouldn't we? I mean, shouldn't we generally be having very sober-minded thoughts about, okay, this isn't going to last forever in terms of this market moving up and up and up?
No, I mean, because markets corrected in 2000, the bubble burst. The bubble burst in 2008. The bubble burst in 1987. To say that, and this bubble is bigger than all those combined, to say it won't correct is just insane. It will correct. Whatever you sow, you will reap. And all the debt that we've created, we're having to pay that down through more debt, and we're going to have to inflate our way out of this problem. And so that's why we will have upticks in gold and silver.
And again, if people want to get more information,
the old-fashioned way, 844-879-8882, or you go to our website, landmarkgold.com.
Excellent, David. Thank you so much. As always, have a great week. We'll talk to you real soon. I deeply appreciate you. Thank you for your friendship and your partnership.
Thank you, my brother. God bless you.
You too. We'll talk soon. Tomorrow on location, Angel Ministries, that's the office of our friend Ann Graham Lotz. You don't want to miss that. She's just absolutely incredible. That'll be a huge blessing for all of us, not the least of which myself. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.